past week, two more major Canadian daily newspapers folded. The Winnipeg Tribune and the Ottawa Journal found it increasingly difficult to keep operations going when the books were always in the red. And it raises some interesting points about the Canadian newspaper industry. Is it economically feasible to operate more than one daily newspaper in the large cities of Canada? Only Toronto has more than one English language paper. Other cities such as Halifax and Vancouver have two dailies, but both are run by the same company. Montreal has more than one daily, but only one paper that is in English. London Free Press editor William Hines says the trend is very clear. It's just not economically viable to operate more than one daily in a city with under 1 million people. Rob Sherville talks to him.
It takes a great deal of revenue to support the reporting and advertising and production and distribution staffs of a daily newspaper. And experience in North America in the last, well, in all the post-war years, has shown that it seems to be impossible to maintain two complete packages like that in a population base of less than about 1 million people. I don't know of any place on the continent where two effective newspapers are operating in a circulation area, in a population area of less than 500,000. I think probably if I checked again now, I'd find that it isn't happening anywhere in a base of less than 1 million.
What does it do to a city in terms of quality of journalism going from a two-paper town to a one-paper town, literally overnight?
Well, that's an interesting question. It depends on the quality of the owner, manager, editorial package. If the paper is a, for example, a southern paper, you can be quite certain that it will function as effectively and as meaningfully for the community as two papers in that community did before. I'm not trying to say that it's better to have one paper. I don't mean that. Obviously, it would be better to have two papers. But it would be better to have one good newspaper than two bad ones. And because, again, there isn't the revenue to support two complete institutions, two complete newspapers in a community under some size, and it's probably now close to 1 million. You can be quite sure that Vancouver will continue to receive a very good newspaper daily print service, the way Edmonton does now, the way Calgary does now, the way the Citizen does in Ottawa now. Now, again, I repeat, it would be more desirable to have two or even three newspapers, all able to function effectively. Everybody would be better off. The reader would be better off. The staffs of the newspapers would be better off. You know, it would be a better situation all around. But the economics just aren't there.
So the thrust behind any newspaper is the advertising dollar, when two papers are going after virtually the same dollar, it just...
One of them has to go. There's no such thing as a poor, financially poor, effective newspaper. You may be for a short term, but unless the newspaper is financially independent and has the resources to pay for the staff it needs to do the job of selling advertising, gathering the news, distributing the paper, there's just, it's got to have that financial stability first. Then it can be a good newspaper.
Okay, what about a few years down the road now? Are things going to continue much as they have in the past, or will you think there might be some sort of a turnaround and we'll start getting into the competitive newspaper business?
Well, there aren't many, except for Toronto, where one of the three presumably might fail, but they're all financially strong at the moment. So I would think Toronto would continue the way it is, and there's a reason for it. It's got almost 3 million population, 2.5 anyway, plus the outside, the the city circulation in the province. So it'll stay the way it is. The other cities will all continue to be able to support one newspaper at some level, depending on their size. So I don't see any further changes. And almost all the papers in Canada now are consolidated into the hands of two chains, Southerns and Thompson. They fought their battles. I don't see how either is going to gain any further advantage. That seems to be it.
But the publisher of London's new weekly newspaper, the London Tribune, says the most frightening part of the whole situation is not the economic certainty, but the fact that the government is now trying to keep those two papers open by subsidizing them. Mark Emery says it's bad news if a current consumer and corporate affairs investigation into the closings decided to prop up the failing papers.
I think the most alarming prospect out of that is the fact that the government is actually considering subsidizing the papers that were losing a bundle just to preserve the jobs of newspaper people, whom I'm sure if they're competent will easily find work elsewhere, and improve the general journalism generally in all other papers by having the best talent being now afforded to other papers. I think if the government gets into newspapers in the same manner they've gotten into radio and television and completely locked up and controlled the industry entirely, then we're in big trouble. You know, I think it's a real blow to the citizen, the paper that survives in Ottawa, that they would have to compete with a government-owned newspaper, which, of course, the government is never going to let it go broke. So a good paper is spending all this money competing with a bad paper that it could possibly end up surviving it, outliving it, because, you know, it's harder to make a profit than it is to get a government grant anymore.
So could this be the end of the highly competitive print news business as we know it? Heine says no, not necessarily. Because of new technology, the way is clear for publishers, like Mark Emery, to start up weekly or bi-weekly papers.
New technology is beginning to make it possible for people to enter the daily or weekly or bi-weekly publishing business with a much lower capital investment than was necessary before. You used to have to buy enormous linotype machines, each of which cost $100,000 to $150,000, and all kinds of various, it's like old steam locomotives. You used to have to buy a lot of them, and they were expensive to operate. Very skilled people to operate. Now, the typesetting job done by a linotype machine which costs, scores of thousands, can be done by a word processor that you can buy for $5,000 at Radio Shack. That will tend, I think, to encourage people to start up new, smaller publications, especially. And this has happened in the magazine industry over the last 20 or 30 years. The big circulation publications like Life and Saturday Evening Post have faded. And their place has been taken by a lot of specialty magazines. There's far more magazines in North America than there ever were, but they're a different kind of an animal. And I think there'll always be a place for the large daily newspaper that meets the information needs of a broad spectrum of the community, national, international, local, provincial, all these kinds of news in detail are something you can only get on a daily basis in the print media. Radio does a good job, but it takes the highlights. Television does a good job, but it takes short segments. If you get 2 minutes on a television show, boy, you've really covered the thing thoroughly, you see. And so the print service will be there for a very, very long time indeed, because it's a need in our complex society. But there may also be a mushrooming of these smaller publications meeting a special need.
And in fact, Heine is dead right, at least for London. And the new London Tribune is evidence. The new weekly has its first issue coming out this Thursday. And publisher Mark Emery carries Heine's argument a step further, saying the daily newspaper is becoming obsolete.
A daily is becoming obsolete. A daily paper has a very difficult time competing with the electronic media. In London, for example, look at your own radio station. Your news is pumped out every half hour. Updates are constantly offered. Things are whipping off the wire, and they're transmitted to the audience instantly. It doesn't have to go through any, you know, composition. Doesn't have to go to a preamp. Doesn't have time lag going to a retail. Doesn't have to be picked up. It can be absorbed and heard instantly. And a daily paper really only offers the same thing in slightly more depth when it comes to news. On a daily basis, the morning and evening edition of the Free Press are almost identical, only the front page differs slightly, and that's not really keeping a competitive edge on, especially television, which presents the visuals that a newspaper does, and, you know, moving photographs, if you want to use it, and radio has that spontaneous, jazzed-up, you know, reporting, and it's something you can't really absorb in print. And worse yet, unfortunately for the daily papers throughout this country, most of it tends to be wire stories, so there's very little local freshness to it, very little of a local cut, and people have a hard time relating to that, so it's easy for them to switch from a daily paper to using the electronic and radio medium, and that's what's happening. In towns where there are more than one paper, two papers, for example, three papers sometimes, you find that all three papers are carrying mostly wire stories, so 85% of it's pretty much the same.
Okay, now let's talk about the London market itself. Do you think there's room for a weekly newspaper, a second newspaper, really?
Obviously, as a lot of backers amongst myself, as well as myself, excuse me, that feel there's obviously plenty of room for diversity, particularly in comparison to the Free Press. We're not out to outdo the Free Press. Our subject matter is almost entirely different. We have a very local scope. We are dealing with, in more depth, with local events, local sports, local entertainment, local politics, this sort of thing. For some people, very cosmopolitan, big city people from who are visiting from Montreal, New York, would find it very dull. But most people who live in London, most people who advertise in newspapers in London or in anything want to approach a market that's very intimately concerned with what's going on in the city. So we'll have very major stories breaking, we'll have very major editorials, but we'll also have neighborhood news too. Two or three paragraph items per, you know, on a certain page that's just dedicated with small things happening in the neighborhood. Floods here and there, you know, road rip-ups, problems in the neighborhood, vandalism increases, little reports from neighborhood correspondents that aren't big city items, right? But they are important to a lot of people in London. You can't get that anywhere.
So are we talking about, as for the format of the thing, are we talking more or less a London news magazine?
Not really. When you talk about format, it will look precisely like a well-laid-out daily paper. The style of writing, however, will try and give the depth, the perception of what we... This is what has happened throughout the week. We will bring you right up to date, whereas a daily newspaper has to go bang, 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 give you news stories as they happen, and then they don't really give you the contextual framework you need to make a proper assessment of the information you're getting. You hear different stories day after day. You're supposed to put the pieces together yourself. A weekly provides that kind of scope. We do it in our journalism for you. We tell you what happened a week ago. We tell you where we got to the situation today. We tell you what the prospects are for a resolution to the story, or we leave it hanging. But we give you an opportunity to make a decision on the information you're getting.
I notice a lot of advertising, particularly on the buses around town. What kind of things are you doing to promote the Tribune?
Well, we've got radio spots on one of the station's newscasts. We've got ads on the buses. We've got our promotional brochures to 2,000 businesses in the city, although I admit somewhat late. A lot of people are surprised to find that our first issue is very short days away and that they really haven't had an opportunity to absorb and understand our product entirely. They're almost everyone is immediately impressed, but they're just overwhelmed, like, where's the advance? Rub it above bub, and we've spent $10,000 on promotion alone, but that can get soaked up immediately. That's a drop in the bucket.
The Tribune's first issue, as I mentioned a minute ago, is coming out this Thursday. The first copy is complimentary. After that, there'll be a quarter each. And it could be that this type of weekly local paper could be the trend and the only competition in cities having only one daily newspaper.